This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, welcome on into First Take. It is our game week, our first one in the month of November, putting that ugly October behind us. The Saints enter good old Thanksgiving month, though, with a six-game losing skid. Steve Geller, along with Charlie Long and Coleman, here on First Take, bringing you to the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, 10 a.m., and we have a noon start in Carolina today against the lowly 1-7 Panthers. Although I say lowly 1-7 Panthers, whew. They got one less win than the Saints.
So I remember we were joking with Mark Schlereth, who came with us. He comes on with us every Tuesday, one of our favorite guests every single week. He's just like, man, I really drew the short stick. I have the Titans versus the Patriots. I'm like, oh, God.
Well, rough awful. One, right.
It's like the NFC version of it. So, you know.
Yeah, looking at this matchup, Charlie, want to delve right into right away the LCMC health update, because that's a huge storyline. LCMC health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. Not only out for the black and gold in this matchup, we learned that 2 players have gone to injured reserve. Kendra Miller, the running back, is dealing with a hamstring issue. Also, wide receiver, the rookie Bub Means, and ankle. Both of those players landing on injured reserve for the Saints. Obviously, they will not be available. Corner, Marshawn Lattimore. Corner, Kool-Aid McKinstry. And then downgraded from doubtful to out, running back Jamal Williams. So those 3 players also out for the black and gold, making it a very interesting for the Saints coaches to deal with the running back and cornerback group for this team. Questionable for the black and gold, you got corner Rico Payton, wide receiver Cedric Wilson Jr., left guard Nick Saldiveri, guard/center Shane Lemieux, linebacker Nephi Sewell, defensive tackle John Ridgeway. Now the black and gold also had some roster moves, and they brought up from the practice squad Miller Bradford, Jordan Mims. There's some running back help right there. Also corner Shamar John Charles. And you look at also elevating Roderick Teamer, Trey Herndon from the practice squad, a safety and corner there, and they waive guard/center Kyle Hergel. Whew, I'm exhausted. We haven't even gotten to the matchups yet.
8 moves.
Yeah.
8 moves. So let's talk about, real quick, the running back room, and then we'll talk about the cornerback room, because I think that's the way we should do it. Kendra Miller. Oh, man. How unlucky is this kid?
We barely got to know you.
A hamstring injury on the first day of training camp and misses the first 6 games of action. Comes back for the Broncos game, plays the Chargers game, gets hurt again. He has a total of 9 carries this year.
And what we're led to believe, too, that this is not the same hamstring, right?
Correct, Steve. It's the other hamstring that he injured, and now he's on the IR. So he started the season on the IR, played 2 games, got 9 carries, is back on the IR. What the heck?
It's brutal for him.
And so now you bring up Jordan Mims, you sign him to the active roster, and then you end up, basically, and we'll talk more about this, Steve, Taysom Hill is your RB2 today.
Yes.
Alvin Kamara is off. You know, he was limited this week, but he doesn't carry any injury designation, which is good news. He's probably going to be good to go for this game.
You know he's going to be limited all week the rest of the season with how many injuries he's
correct.
Dealing with, but Alvin's a trooper.
He's banged up because they're asking him to do so much.
He's playing with a broken hand.
Yeah, and they downgraded Jamal Williams to out. I'm sure you mentioned that when you were going through everything. So
that's brutal, too, obviously, just because it's not like he's done much in this offense anyway.
Either.
But gets some relief for Alvin. But like you said, man, Taysom's definitely now RB2.
Taysom's RB2 because Jamal's out and Kendra's back on the IR. So it's Alvin, Taysom, and Jordan Mims.
Right.
That's your backfield right now. So that's, you know, part one. Moving on to the cornerback room, Marshawn is out. Rico Payton's questionable. As you mentioned, Kool-Aid's out.
Adebo's
right. out for the year.
Good thing we're playing the Panthers here with not many wide receiving threats.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I don't think Adam Thielen's playing in this game, but right, I think correct. Xavier Leggett is expected to play, the rookie.
Right, I think he's questionable.
Jalen Coker, like their undrafted free agent guy, that Anish Shroff was like gushing about him.
Right.
That he's
definitely a guy to look out for.
Yeah, that he's really made a name for himself early on, kind of almost like their version of our Rashid Shaheed.
Correct.
Right? Like some gem that they found undrafted free agent wise. So, you know, it seems like their weapons are a little bit dampered. Bryce Young's leading the attack, and I have the stats on Bryce Young versus the Saints, and let me tell you, they're not good. They're sticking with Bryce despite Andy being a full participant in practice this week.
Yeah.
That he doesn't carry an injury designation for this game. But after benching Bryce, I think all the way back in week three, they're going back to him. Because Andy gets into the car crash, and then he has a really bad sprained thumb on his throwing hand. So they go to Bryce against Denver last week. And you're thinking, oh my God, like he's got to face the Broncos defense. This kid's going to get killed. At the same time, he has a decent performance. A lot of the production came in garbage time, like once the game was already over. Apparently, like he led the first drive on a touchdown drive, and then kind of late he led a touchdown drive too against that Broncos defense, which Saints fans know from a couple weeks ago, really, really good defense. So they're giving the reins back to Bryce just in time for the Saints to be playing him. And Bobby said this all week. He's just like, I'm glad that we're playing, you know, he calls him Little Bryce, right?
Yeah.
Instead of Andy Dalton, because Dalton gives them a better chance to win.
Way more savvy vet that you'd think would be able to pick apart a secondary that's so depleted right now.
Exactly. So, you know, it's kind of two banged up rooms going against each other because, I mean, they also moved on from Deontay Johnson this week, Steve, sending
Crazy.
Him to Baltimore.
Right.
So that wide receiver room for the Panthers, effectively two rookies. It's Xavier Leggett and Jalen Coker. Once again, we don't think Adam Thielen's playing
today. I think they've ruled him out.
And they also moved on from Deontay ahead of the trade deadline, which is Tuesday, which we'll talk more about as well, Steve, because there's a couple of rumors buzzing around there as well. So, it's like those two and Jatavion Sanders, another rookie, tight end.
Right.
I don't think their new rookie, you know, running back Jonathan Brooks is expected to make his debut this week.
Correct.
So,
They did not elevate him.
In the rushing game, it's Chuba Hubbard.
And he's, you know, give him credit for the lack of run game that this Panther squad has because of the offense struggling so much and them having to pass the football. Hubbard's had a decent season.
Yeah. So as far as their rushing offense, it's, you know, 24th in the NFL, 104 yards per game. It's not great. But when you're looking at their stats as a whole, Steve, that's the best it really gets. As far as rushing offense, passing offense, total offense, rushing
right.
defense, passing defense, total defense, scoring offense and defense, 24 is the highest they get. The Saints got to win. I mean, it's funny because Mike joked about this as well, that when he was doing Panthers radio, they were looking at their schedules just like, if the Panthers don't beat the Saints.
Right, if there's one more game on this schedule that's a win, we could definitely beat New Orleans.
Exactly. But that's, it's how both squads feel about each other because they're both in the dumps. It's a 2-6 team versus a 1-7 team. So their rushing attack, Anish Shroff, they kind of previewed it, saying that that was where they can really get after you. The issue is they get behind so much early on
because right.
their scoring defense is so terrible that they have to throw the ball. And if they have to throw the ball, you know, 30, 40 times a game, the Saints got him right where they want him.
I thought it was interesting. We'll get into some of the audio we have in our sound bank. We have the Saints, Alante Taylor, Cam Jordan, Derek Carr. Also, of course, Deuce McAllister. Here's some of what he has to say about this team and their winning culture needing to be revitalized. But also, the Locked On Panthers host, Dez Johnson, he joined us on the Inside Black and Gold podcast and
yep.
basically said that you mentioned with Andy Dalton being healthy, this is a owner decision of keeping with Bryce and not the coaching staff, who is really ready to move on from him already, it seems.
Stank basically called out, you know, are they really ready to move on from Canales?
Yeah, we'll hear from Dez Johnson, and he says that, no, not to Canales. Canales is ready to just go with Carr,
with
Andy Dalton, because he has not been impressed with what Bryce has been doing.
Yeah, exactly. And so when Stank was saying that basically at this point in the season where it's a lost year, you're 1-7, you are where you are,
yeah.
you're more competing for the first overall pick than any kind of potential late season run. He said that you owe it to your players to play the best players, is how Stink said it, and that you lose your credibility as a coach if you don't do so.
Right.
Granted, as you said, Steve, it's probably not his decision that Bryce Young's playing this game instead of Andy Dalton.
Well, we know it wasn't the coach's decision last year to even draft Bryce, and he's gone too. So,
yeah, I mean,
listen to what Mr. Tepper says
David
if you want to stick around.
Yeah, I mean, Saints fans should be happy that David Tepper is the owner of the Carolina Panthers because they are multiple years away from even becoming competitive.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic when you've seen what this organization's going through and just your talent that you've had, like a Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Brian Burns. We just saw you acquired a Deontay Johnson, and you've shipped it right back out of town, and you've got nothing to
Deontay,
show for it.
The funniest part about Deontay was how openly, like, he made it known that he didn't want to be there. He came out in a presser and was just like, I can't play every position on the field. Like, oh my gosh. So, yeah, go enjoy Baltimore, you know, a team that has expectations in the AFC instead of, you know, riding on this Panthers squad that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, what a turnaround right there. You end up from Carolina to Baltimore.
I know, it's almost like they did him right. It's kind of funny, right? Because he kind of made it known that he didn't want to be there. And like, okay, we'll ship you to a contender in the Ravens.
And really, for what was it, an exchange too, you sent a fifth-round pick and got, what, sixth in return?
Yeah.
You got a fifth and sent a sixth, like that.
We slammed them for kind of getting dimes on the dollar there. Like, they don't really get much at all for a player of Deontay Johnson's caliber, which I still think Deontay, I mean, he was their leading receiver. Not saying much because the Panthers' receiving corps is not very good. But he was still their leading receiver, and he was having a solid year. They get a fifth-round pick, and they have to give up a sixth-round pick. It's like a swap. But at the same time, you get at least something for him because he was on a one-year deal. He was going to be due a contract next season.
And like
he
you said, clearly not happy.
Obviously was not going to be re-signing there. So, I mean, I guess you can credit Dan Morgan, the GM of Carolina, for at least getting something, you know, instead of just eventually letting him walk in the offseason.
This Black and Gold bunch, we went through the injuries. The good news is Derek Carr's back at least, so they'll have the veteran back under center. We haven't seen him in quite some bit, and definitely needed some kind of injection in this offense that's been really struggling to put up points, Charlie. We've seen just the, you know, Spencer Rattler and Jake Hanner trying their best to rally this team, but just I feel like both, you know, inexperienced young QBs put in a no-win situation for sure.
With the offensive line injuries, now the offensive
line receiver injuries.
It's starting to get healthy. The wide receiver injuries, as you mentioned, Rashid Shaheed is now out. Chris Olave
has
missed time with a concussion, but he's now back. So yeah, I mean it's been
Taysom was gone for a while too.
The injuries have slammed the offense, and so when you have to throw out those young QBs behind, you know, some backups and stuff like that, it's not the best situation in the world. So yeah, Derek Carr coming back, obviously huge for this team because, as you mentioned, the offense has sputtered in recent weeks, and you have, you know, a legit starting quarterback now under center.
We're going to take a break when we get back. Going to get into your calls. Also at 8:30, we'll be checking in at Carolina Bank of America Stadium, where our Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak will give us a scene setter of all things going on in good old Charlotte this morning. I want to hear from you. Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line, folks, 504-260-1870. How you feeling this morning about game day? We kind of figure this is pretty much must-win territory for the black and gold.
Undoubtedly.
You're facing probably the worst team in the NFL. You got to prove that you're not in that mix.
It's the worst team. They have the worst record.
Well, if you don't win today, what does it say about you, right?
Exactly. You're right in that category.
Taking a break right here on First Take on WWL.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's radio. Welcome back into First Take. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, and Coleman bringing you till the Bud Light countdown to kickoff, which is 10 a.m. with the good old Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, getting ready to count down to the kickoff in Carolina, which is a noon start. And man, I kind of got spoiled, Charlie, with we had the primetime game Thursday night, then a 3 o'clock kickoff, and then whap. We got hit with the early one this week.
Exactly.
Had to get used to it. And luckily, I was saying to both you guys, the daylight savings, we were, you know, gaining the hour, not losing one for this morning.
It doesn't really feel like we did.
I know, for whatever reason.
Yeah, whatever. We'll deal with it. So, you know, we're ahead of this Tuesday trade deadline, Steve. I think there's some interesting storylines to talk about. When we talked to DA, he said that they're not in sell mode, when we talked with Mickey, said that he said like something along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing here, that they weren't going to sell players for undervalued offers.
Right.
Right. So he didn't necessarily rule out any potential trades.
Right. You never do that. You never say we're not doing anything.
Yeah. Now DA was just like, yeah, we're not in sell mode. We're looking to improve. Right.
And sure.
I think they see, you know, this upcoming game against Carolina as a spot to
better
stop
improve.
The bleeding. That's the term we've continued to use. Just stop the bleeding.
We haven't had a win since September 15th. Just saying.
I mean, exactly. So, but then you have three straight home games. See what happens, right? So, but that's how they're kind of viewing it. As far as some trade rumors about the Panthers, because they're 1-7, they're not doing anything this year. Danny Rusini had posted this earlier, said the Panthers are getting multiple calls from teams interested in trading for former number one overall pick Bryce Young. At this time, Carolina is not considering moving him. The Panthers were encouraged by his improvements and overall commitment to the team and his return to the field last week. NFL executives around the league believe if Carolina decides to trade him, they'll get a better offer by waiting until the offseason anyways. As for the rest of the roster, teams believe Carolina is open to moving running back Miles Sanders and edge Jadeveon Clowney. So,
wow.
Clowney, Sanders, and then also there's kind of buzz that the Panthers are holding. Jonathan Jones from CBS Sports had said that they're basically holding out Thielen this week, and they could potentially move him. They have a game in Germany next week, Steve. It's either the second to last or the last game across
the international games.
Correct, across the pond. And so they could potentially trade Thielen before that Tuesday deadline, just like they moved Deontay Johnson. I mean, they're in full-on rebuild mode. They're just about to start selling pieces for parts at this point. They've already done it with Deontay Johnson. We'll see if they do it with Thielen, see if they do it with Clowney. Sanders is also apparently on the table. So, but apparently Bryce Young is going to be there for the rest of the season. Now we'll see what happens with basically the final half of the year. I don't know how long he's going to be starting for, if he just completely flops like he has done against the Saints in the past. Steve, here's this, before we get back to the trade deadline stuff, here's his stats against the Saints in his career. He's played them three times.
Lil Bryce.
Record 0-3. I think his record as a starter, by the way, is historically bad. It's 2-17, I'm pretty sure. So. Right. He's reaching some rare territory. His stats, passer rating of 56.4, 451 yards in three games, so averaging about 150 yards per game, one touchdown to two interceptions, and his completion percentage, 48%.
How? Woof.
Not even 50.
Right.
Anthony Richardson got benched for having a 44% completion percentage. Everyone was saying he was awful. And Bryce Young is just above that, 48% against the Saints. So, I mean, he has not had any type of success against Dennis Allen's defenses in the past, and they got to make it that same way today.
Yeah, Bryce definitely has had a rough go, and it doesn't seem like things are improving any for him. And to be fair, they did invest in the offensive line in Carolina for this season, but you got Deontay Johnson, and boom, 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 he's gone, and you really don't have much else around.
So ESPN's Adam Schefter had put this out as well, as far as quarterbacks that get benched,
yeah,
like rookie QBs or just young QBs. Based on this history, this is from, let's see, Evan Kaplan, who works for NFL Countdown with ESPN. Based on history, this looks like the beginning of the end of Anthony Richardson's time in Indianapolis. And the reason I'm going to conflate this is because it also has to do with Bryce as
sure.
Well. From 2000 to 2022, there were 66 quarterbacks selected in the first round of the NFL draft, and 25 of those quarterbacks were benched at some point while on their rookie contract. Bryce was also benched while on his rookie contract. Mitch Trubisky is the only one who started a playoff game.
Don't want to be selected in the same category Pro Bowl. With him.
He was the only one that started a playoff game or was selected to the Pro Bowl with the team that drafted him after being benched.
Ouch.
Yeah.
A positive news for Mitch.
Positive news for Mitch, but not good news for Anthony Richardson or Bryce Young, who are obviously off to kind of, you know, not great starts to their NFL career.
No, and hopefully we see the similar output from the Saints defense against Bryce Young like week one, because we were all hooting and hollering and jumping for joy then, and I think, what was it, the first play of the game was an interception.
Yeah, but that was to Will Harris, who's also out for the Saints. I mean...
You're giving me facts here. I'm daydreaming.
Yeah, no, let's be happy. But that's what
good news is, at least Tyrann Mathieu, who started the week with an illness, is a full go and ready to play today, because that was another name in that secondary that was banged up to start this week.
Yes.
And it was like, oh no,
well,
you can't
illness.
Be out without him. Yeah, it was illness.
Yeah,
right.
So, but after, you know, being basically after that Wednesday, he was a full participant the rest
of the week. Get him that IV and out on the field,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, once again, the whole point in all this is that Bryce has been off to a terrible start to his career. Now, he posted all these, you know, season highs in completions and attempts and yards and even touchdowns in that game against the Broncos. But when you're comparing the stats to like the rest of the season, it's like that's like an average game for a lot of NFL quarterbacks.
Right.
And that's like a season best.
They're looking for any baby steps, any kind of positives from him.
I know. And Stink was really, really like he was brutally honest about what Bryce has been
saying
so far.
He's not
career.
An NFL quarterback.
He said he's tiny. He said he doesn't have NFL skill sets at this point. Now, teams are still interested in him because he was the former number one overall pick, and there's still something there, right? There's still, you know, Carolina obviously has been off to an awful start, but Carolina has also been a nightmare. They've been a complete mess.
Yeah.
He won at Alabama not based off of his frame. He won based off of his mind. He was able to dissect defenses, you know, and I don't want to say he's been ruined by Carolina, but he's just not mentally.
Shell-shocked for sure.
He's not mentally what he was. No. He was winning a Heisman at Alabama. And that was what made him go number one overall. And it's kind of interesting to see what the potential domino effect is, right, Steve? Of like, if you're seeing this quarterback that is gifted mentally, right, and he can read defenses and he can see the field and he knows exactly what he wants to do with the ball in any given snap, but he's not, you know, the most gifted physically, I don't think teams are going to take them that high anymore.
No, you're dead right there. And what we're going to do, take a break. When we get back, we'll get a scene setter from Carolina. Our science sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, will join us, talk about a little about what the weather's going on for today's game in Bank of America Stadium and everything else Saints right after this on First Take after the break on WWL. Welcome back into First Take, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Happy to welcome in Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter, on the scene in Charlotte. How's it going this morning, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I enjoyed that extra hour of sleep. This is my favorite NFL week of the year, just because of that alone.
Yeah, I was saying to Charlie, you know, we were back to these early morning starts, you know, with a noon kickoff, well, 1 o'clock over there, but it was definitely nice for the pregame to be gaining the hour instead of losing one. What's the weather like out there for you? I think pretty mild temperatures, right?
Yeah, this will actually be one of the cooler games the Saints play until they get to the actual cold weather games. I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, have some, you know, a little longer in their warm-ups because, you know, by game time it'll be up probably into the 70s, but in around 10 a.m. when you're really kind of getting those warm-ups in, it'll be a little chillier, but should be bright and sunny. Should be pretty comfortable out there.
You know, looking at the injury report, always been interesting this year for this black and gold bunch. And we got the news yesterday of obviously a guy like Kendra Miller going to IR. So is Bub Means, the wide receiver. But when you look at just the running back and corner position for this black and gold bunch, you got some pretty good questions going into this game if you end up having people that get banged up against the Panthers.
Yeah, depth is definitely a concern. The Saints signed Jordan Mims back to the active roster, which, as you mentioned, you know, he's in place of Kendra Miller, who is going on IR for the second time this season. You actually can return multiple times from IR, so the season isn't technically over, but obviously he's going to be out for at least a month. That's a bummer. He's a guy who just can't seem to stay healthy. Jamal Williams has been ruled out with a groin injury. He didn't travel with the team, so you really only have two running backs on the active roster right now, Alvin Kamara and Jordan Mims. So I expect we'll see some kind of role for Jordan Mims today. You'll probably lean on Taysom Hill as well at that position. And then Adam Prentice is there as well to maybe take some of that load. But yeah, that's a concern for this team. If you end up with a running back injury or two, you could be in serious trouble. And the same is true at cornerback. You signed Shamar John Charles. Rico Payton's dealing with a back injury. He didn't practice all week, but he does have a chance to play. It's a tough scenario because you're talking about a rookie who missed all 3 days of practice. I'd be kind of surprised if, even if he's active, he's on the starting line, but we'll have to wait and see. Shamar is a guy who got a good bit of run in training camp on the outside because, if you recall, Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo missed a good chunk of time in camp. So he got some good run there, and the team does like him. So we'll see how that goes. Kool-Aid McKinstry, he's out. Obviously, Lattimore is out. Paulson Adebo's on IR. So, you know, those two spots, yeah, if you, you know, you're already thin going in, you're playing with backups, and then if you get a few more injuries, you could be in real trouble. I expect to see Alante Taylor on the outside, probably Ugo Amadi in the slot, because I think that's where you're a little more comfortable with Ugo. But we'll have to wait and see. If this game goes sideways for the Saints, I have a feeling it's going to be because they can't stop the pass.
Which is interesting because Bryce Young in his career against the Saints just, I mean, I read the stats, Jeff. They're not very gaudy. It's like a 48.5% completion percentage, 150 yards per game, one touchdown, and three games played. So, but at the same time, who he's throwing to is pretty interesting as well. Deontay Johnson got traded to the Baltimore, as we know. And then Adam Thielen is basically, I think, being held out of this game. He could potentially get traded as well. And now you're looking at a pair of rookies basically leading that wide receiver room and also the tight end room, I guess, to a lesser extent with Jatavion Sanders. But Xavier Leggett, Jalen Coker, the undrafted free agent that people in Carolina keep raving about, that seems to be like it's kind of like weakness versus weakness right now because the Saints cornerback room is so banged up and just the Panthers' passing attack doesn't have a lot of experience behind it.
Yeah, I think Jonathan Mingo would probably be a guy you see get good run as well. He played against the Saints last year. He's a second-year player. But, yeah, no, I mean, if I'd say the Saints are fortunate to, you know, to be this thin at the cornerback room in this matchup, which is probably the one you're the least concerned about in terms of beating you on the outside. But that's why, you know, I kind of put this in my preview column. Like, one of the things that's vitally important today is you have to be able to stop the run. And you have to be able to do it without devoting a ton of extra manpower to that. Like, you can't be stacking the box knowing what you have on the outside because you're going to want to give help probably to whoever plays across from Alante Taylor, right? Like, you're not going to be able to just say, hey, throw this guy out on an island and see what happens. You're going to want to be able to roll some extra coverage. So it's going to require the front seven to stand up and, in some cases, the front six, right? And so it's going to be on that defensive interior. I actually think Colin Saunders has been – something of a bright spot for this team over the last several weeks. Obviously, there's been issues stopping the run, but I do think as he's gotten more comfortable, as he's worked back from that calf injury, you've seen him have some really nice games. I thought he played really well against Kansas City. I thought he played really well last week stuffing the run. He got a sack. So I kind of think you're going to see Colin get a bigger chunk of the pie at the defensive tackle position as you go. But, yeah, I know this is a matchup that the Saints defense has to show up in. Yeah, you feel a little better knowing that you have Derek Carr back on the opposite side because you'll feel like you'll be able to put up some points. That's been kind of the biggest issue, in my opinion, is not only was the defense struggling to get stops and get off the field efficiently, it felt like, hey, whenever you would send the ball back to the offense in a positive situation, you know, it would sputter, it would stop, the car wouldn't start, whatever you want to put it, you turn the key and nothing happens. And so hopefully that changes because I think if you can get some points on the board early in this game, that's a Panthers team that I don't think believes it's going to win. And in those situations, you just want to put the game away early and play from ahead and play on your terms. Because, I'm not worried about what Bryce Young is going to do. If you allow him to hang around in this game and gain confidence throughout the first half, it could go against you. You're on the road. You haven't won a lot of games. You've lost six in a row. This Panthers team hasn't won a lot of games either. One of these teams is going to come out with a win today and be feeling – reasonably good about themselves, and the Saints better hope it's them.
You know, I know you got there in the evening last night in Carolina. Have you seen much or any Panthers fans out there? And is there a lot of powder blue and black walking around, or not really?
No, well, like you mentioned, we got in pretty late, so I wouldn't say I've been able to get out and about.
Right.
We'll see how it goes at the stadium. I am curious to see whether Saints fans travel for this game. I have to imagine it was an affordable ticket. Let's phrase it that way. But no, I honestly, I'm not sure. I can't say high or low whether the Panthers fans are feeling particularly good about themselves. I can't imagine they are. So we'll have to see. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a sparsely attended game, if that phrasing works.
No, attendance in Bank of America Stadium, I know, is not too great as it is. When you got this kind of matchup, even though it is division rivals, I can't imagine that there's much excitement from either sides, honestly, for the game.
No, I mean, that's the product of when you have a 2-6 team going up against a 1-7 team. I can't imagine this will be particularly high on the league pass rankings this week.
When you look at this matchup, though, Jeff, one last one. You know, you look at the matchups. Is there anybody on this Saints side, offensively or defensively, that you consider an X factor for this matchup that has to do well in this game for this team to come away with a win? Is it the quarterback?
Oh, it's got to be the quarterback. It's got to be. And I mean, that's if you're a Saints fan, and I consider myself one of these kind of these pie in the sky idealists of like, I'm going to keep hope until it's like pried out of my cold dead hands. It's kind of how I view sports in general. It's like hey, you know, no, there's nothing cooler than a team that's been left for dead kind of going full Undertaker and sitting up in the coffin and going back for another round. And if you're one of those people, you have to be looking at Derek Carr and saying, hey, yeah, this has been a struggle without him. When he was in there, this looked like a functional team capable of winning. He had a few tough losses, but you were in these games, and a few things go differently and they go your way. It has to go back to the quarterback, and he has to go out there and not only play well, but play in such a way that kind of gives you some optimism. Because the only way this thing turns around, and I know a lot of people have already given up on it turning around, but the only way it turns around for the Saints is if you go out there and you win this game, and you win it in such a way that you kind of can build confidence and swing that forward into the next 2 weeks before the bye and put some wins together and string some wins together. And for that to happen, it's going to fall on the quarterback. He's the veteran. He's the guy that makes this offense go. And so, yeah, he's the ultimate X factor. Because if you go out there and you look like you did the last 3 weeks, even if you scratch out a win, that's going to be tough to sell in terms of like, oh, yeah, we're going to get this thing back on track. We're going to move things in the right direction. So you really want to go out there. You want to play a clean game. You know, this coaching staff has talked about, hey, the details, you're focused on the details. Well, the details have to look good. You know, you have to execute the details. And if you can do that, you can get a win. You can end the skid and look at it and say, hey, this is where we start a winning streak. Then that's great. Then you can, you know, build off that and all the things you're going to say going into next week, you can at least believe. If you can't do that, if the offense continues to be stuck in the mud against a very beatable Panthers defense, then I don't know how you can kind of say those things with a straight face. So to me, that's what it comes down to is this team different with Derek Carr, and can this offense be one that is capable of winning the games? And I think today is going to go a long way in coloring that conversation.
Beatable is a really funny word for the Panthers defense, Jeff. I mean, it's a complete flip from last week. You go from the top-ranked scoring defense in the NFL with the Chargers to quite literally the 32nd-ranked scoring defense with the Panthers. They're giving up just under 34 points per game. But one thing that also stood out to me as far as their 31st-ranked total defense, they have the worst rushing defense in the NFL, 154.6 yards per game allowed. So, I mean, the Saints aren't that far ahead. They're at 28th. But you're going up against the worst rushing defense. Now, I know you're without Jamal Williams, you're without Kendra Miller, as we talked about. Taysom Hill and Alvin Kamara, I mean, this could be a good game for them to kind of get off without Derek Brown available.
Yeah, I think the Panthers and Saints are kind of dealing with a lot of the same stuff, which is, you know, you could have a good defense, but if your offense isn't sustaining drives, isn't putting up points, and you're leaving any defense on the field for the whole game, the numbers are not going to be your friend, particularly in the run game, because you're going to get worn down. You're going to start giving up chunk plays. The biggest issue for the Saints has been chunk plays allowed. I think they lead the league in like 50-plus yard plays allowed or some stat like that. And that's where it's got to change, and that's where you've got to – and if you can keep your defense fresh, defense is going to look a lot better when they're going out there and they're not gassed after the first play they're on the field. And, you know, I'm sure the Panthers' defense probably feels the same way in that, like, hey, we could do the best we can. We force a punt. We give it back to them. Their offense is getting the ball three plays later. That's a problem. So, yeah, I mean, like, that's where this offense, I think they excelled early in the season. They sustained drives. They scored on, what, the first 15 possessions? Of the season, and like your defense is going to benefit from that. So I think it's got to go. It's got to be on both sides of the ball. Like you can't just say, "Hey, the defense isn't good enough. What are we going to figure out?" It's like, no, the offense plays a big part in your defense being efficient and being fresh. And especially in a game like this where you're undermanned, that's even more important. So yeah, I think it goes on both sides. If the Panthers can sustain offense, if they can take advantage of the Saints DBs and protect their defense, then I think their defense is going to look a lot better. So. I think this is going to come down to, okay, which side can execute on both sides of the ball? And if the Saints can do that, they should win this game going away. If they can't, if they're putting their defense out there and drive after drive after drive the way they did against the Chargers, who really didn't do much on offense either, you're going to see a similar game. So to me, that's what it's about.
Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. You can hear him along with the voice of the Saints, Mike Hawes, and color analyst Deuce McAllister, noon kickoff on WWL Saints Radio. Thanks so much for the time, Jeff, and we'll be hearing for you more later in the game. Hopefully you guys come home with the team and that victory.
For sure, y'all. Thanks.
Going to take a break here on First Take. When we get back, getting into some of our sound bank. Want to hear from you all as well on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Happy Daylight Savings, Hoot Dad's going to be back with more right after this on First Take after the break on WWL. Well, welcome back into week 9 of the NFL season, folks. We're here on First Take getting ready for Saints at Panthers, a noon kickoff on WWL Saints Radio coming up at 10 a.m. The Cajun Cannon sounds off on the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. One of the big issues for this game for the Saints is the concerning secondary. You don't have Paulson Adebo. We know he's on injured reserve. No Marshawn Lattimore.
Yep.
He's dealing with a hamstring issue. No Kool-Aid McKinstry. He's dealing with a hamstring issue.
Yep.
You just worry about what you actually have available. We also know who is it also is questionable with the back injury.
Rico Payton,
right. A youngster.
It's like a preseason secondary.
Except for Alante Taylor.
Yeah, Alante's the dude.
Who's our stud right now leading the way.
I mean, when we were talking about like the good young players on this team, Alante Taylor's in that number.
Definitely in the mix, right.
Yeah, he's been awesome in the slot. But entering the year, like he was talking about having to play this slot, he's just like, oh, I view myself as an outside corner, but yes. You know, I'll do whatever the team asks me to do. Well, they're going to ask you to play outside today, Alante, with all the injuries to Kool-Aid, to you know Marshawn, Paulson out for the year. So Alante's going to get his shot to play outside.
Taylor was asked, what did he work on moving back outside from the nickel due to injuries?
Yeah, you know, I'm back at home, I guess you could say, but I'm really just trying to figure out what can I do to maybe give us a better chance at winning games. You know, people are going to talk about, I don't know, I'm kind of being consistent and I kind of have these bad plays here and there. But, you know, I'm just kind of looking at the negative side of it for me personally and just saying, like, how can you take away those negative things? So I'm really just taking one day at a time, one rep at a time, and I'm trying to figure it out still. But I think the best thing I can do right now is just continue to fly around. You know, I'm in this different leadership role now with our corners down. So I have to make sure I give a better example to the younger guys and lead them in the best way possible.
Taylor's been playing the slot for this black and gold bunch. And how is he handling, though, that shift to being back on the outside?
At this point, I guess I'm used to it, right? You know, I've always said I'm a corner. I've gotten comfortable playing the nickel. I feel like I've done really well with that. So, you know, being back outside, it's not like I have to figure my feet out or figure something out. I feel like I'm comfortable out there. And, you know, with Ugo playing in that nickel right now, you know, I can communicate with him. And being back outside, I have the sideline now, right? So my technique is going to look a little different for me. But like I said, I'm in a different leadership role right now. And so playing nickel and playing corner is something that, you know, I have to continue to explain to the other guys whatever their role is. Like if they forget or something like that, they know they can look outside to me and, you know, I can make sure I get them where they need to be.
Alante Taylor's got to be that dog now for this Saints team in the secondary. He's got very limited experienced help.
Yeah, but talking about like the sideline that he's able to work with, it's a different spot. But he's comfortable in more working outside. He learned how to be a slot corner and a nickel. So, you know, I think he'll be all right. I think he'll look good today.
Coming up, a news break and then another hour of First Take before we get into the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff coming up at 10. So stay right there, folks. Be right back.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.